those who listen and ask questions control. Those who listen and ask questions control. Those who listen and ask questions control. Now, this is the thought for today. Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing, and Dr. Byerly is a very mean young man. Because I expect people in my world to understand what I'm saying. I expect people in my world to follow the directions that I give them. And if they don't want to follow the directions, they don't have to. They don't have to be here. Very interesting. Those who listen and ask questions control communication. Now, would you believe that? Those who listen and ask questions control communication. You see, life is filled with intercourse, with our relationship with each other. How do we respond to each other? How do we speak to each other? What sort of social, mental, spiritual, ideal intercourse do we have with one another? Now we think, oh, sex! Well, it has nothing to do with sex. Sex is a misnomer for the word intercourse. Sex is outer course, but it's not intercourse. It has nothing to do with the inner person. The only thing that has to do with the inner person is communication. Well, now, I was just describing how my dog Rex, 1 year old a couple of days ago, has learned that when he comes to me and does his sit or whatever he's supposed to do, and he says, okay, where's my treat? Where's my treat? Where's my my honor for coming when you call? And I said, I hold my hand flat in front of him. I say, it's empty. You don't always get something. I'll give you a hug. But you don't always get a treat when you come. You should come because that's part of your manners. And so he comes sometimes, and sometimes he doesn't. Most of the time when I have a treat, or when he knows it really is a treat, he knows it too. He comes very well. Now, I think I'm going to have to do the same thing with my children here at the monastery. Because I speak to them in simple, unadorned language, and they don't hear me, they don't understand me, and they don't care what I'm saying. Now, that's a terrible thing to say, isn't it? That's a terrible thing to say that people do. But apparently they're doing that. For instance, at noon today, we had a very lovely lunch. And after the lunch, several of the ladies wanted to pick up the dishes and so forth. And I held up my hand and I said, no. And there was a napkin and a few other things on the table they wanted to pick up. I said, no. I held up my hand. Rex would understand it. But the humans don't always understand it. They really don't give a damn what others say. Now, when people don't give a damn what other people say and expect from them, then other people don't really give a damn about them. We have to be very careful of that. And I mean, that's what's coming up. If you don't learn to follow instructions, if you don't learn to be a good employee, so to speak, you can never be an employer. If you don't learn to be a good friend or listener, as we say, you will never have any friends. Because, oh, we had a friend here the other day, and we hadn't seen him for a long time, so they talked, and they talked, and they talked. And they talked, and they talked, and they told us all about their life, and all about their excitement, and all about their, and then every once in a while they throw, and what have you been doing, you know? And before I had a chance to open my mouth, they had something else again to tell me of the wonderful things of their life. Now, that's glorious. That's really wonderful. But I became a little disenchanted and a little disinterested because I thought, well, it'd be nice to tell them what we're doing too, you know. Not that I have to do that, but it'd be nice. But the thing is, why did they keep talking? Because they didn't know how to listen. They didn't know how to be interested in the other person. Now, when I give instructions here, I keep saying to you, you are in a school. Whether I give instructions or not makes no difference at all. But you are in a school. And so you follow the instructions. And we say, you're not being tested, you're being fortified. So, what happens when I hold up my hand and say, please do not take anything more off the table. Sit down and be ready for our talk this noon. And the persons just get up and pick up the stuff and take it to the kitchen, load the dishwasher with it, and do all sorts of things. And then they come back at their own good time. And I really should not pay any attention to the children. When they act that way, I should just let them be and go on with my story when I'm ready to do it. You see, what does Santa Claus do when he talks to children before Christmas? He finds out if they've been what?
Good.
Naughty or nice. He finds out whether they've been naughty or nice. And if they're naughty, what do they get in their sock? If they're nice, what do they get in their sock?
Lots of goodies.
Okay, now, why does it make a difference whether children are naughty or nice? Because children who are nice are children who are happy with themselves, they like themselves, and they like others. Children who are naughty are always looking for ways of hurting somebody else or taking from someone else or making someone else feel unhappy. Now, that's not very nice, is it? That's naughty. Okay. When you hear adults sitting at the table are naughty, you're naughty when you don't watch the program. And the program is that as soon as you finish eating and you got the last bite down your gullet and you swallowed and drank a little bit of coffee and relaxed, then we start to talk. And the table may be filled with dirty dishes, but it doesn't make any difference. I'm not looking at the dirty dishes, I'm looking into your eyes, and I'm looking into each one of you and talking to you. And my communication with you has nothing to do with what lays before us. You know, a number of people, strange as it may sound, they were at a scene of an accident. It was a terrible accident. People were killed and everything. And one woman looked up from the accident, and she saw a young man on the other side, and he looked at her at that same moment. And they knew they were meant for each other. They knew that they were one. Now, why under those terrible circumstances? They should have cleaned up the accident first, you know, taken away all the bodies and did all these things. But their communication could not wait. And perfect communication is like that. It does not have to have a clean slate upon which to perform, because it performs sans slate. Without a slate. It doesn't need it at all. It just expresses itself, and it is perfect. Those who listen and ask questions control communication. Now, why? Because they're showing that they're interested in the other people. They're showing that they're interested in what's going on. They're showing that they care about the people who are involved in their world. When a little child says, Mommy, I want this, Mommy, I want that, Mommy, I want this, Mommy, I want that, and then Mommy looks at them and cries, and the child says, Mommy, what's the matter? Why are you crying? In all honesty and sincerity, they're begging when sighed, which was merely attention getting, and they took a deep, sincere interest and why their mother was crying. Now, the mother held it back, but all of a sudden it burst out. and she was crying. And the little child said, "Mommy, why are you crying?" Now, the mother may tell the child the truth, or the mother may tell the child whatever. But if the mother tells the child the truth, how much more real and better is it? "Sweetheart, your puppy dog got run over today, and I was just so unhappy about it, and I was afraid to tell you because I didn't want you to feel too sad about it. But your puppy dog's gone to heaven now." And the child looks at her mother. "Mommy, don't you know? You told me when Grandma went to heaven, I shouldn't cry. I should be happy for Grandma. Now you tell me my puppy's gone to heaven. And, oh, I missed my puppy. But I'm happy that he's gone to heaven. He's gone into a wonderful, wonderful place, and that's great. Now, Mommy, can we have another puppy?" You know? And that is the beauty of it. The only difficulty you have sometimes is, how do you get another grandmother, you know? Or how do you get another wife or husband who passes away? Well, that's not too hard. And when you get another wife or husband, you usually pick up another grandmother and grandfather in the trade, you know. But you see, when people ask sincere questions, whether it's a little child or an adult, whether it's someone who has a penetrating interest in what's going on in the world, and they say, "Gee, you look so sad. What seems to be the problem? Is there something I can help you with? Is there something I can do?" And of course, you protest no. And they say, "Well, there's something I can do. I care. And now, I'm here. Just lean on me. If I can give you any support, moral support, anything else, I'm just here. Because I care about you. And I feel about you." You know? Now, wow. What communication. Could that person do anything to take away the other person's hurt, whatever it may have been? No. But to know that someone cared for them while they were in their deep hurt meant so much to them. And they didn't know it. They had no idea. They hadn't had that experience before where someone reached out their hand at a moment of very great loss or pain or whatever. And communication is the most beautiful of all the arts that we could ever do. And the most beautiful aspect of communication is the idea of asking questions, of caring, of being sincerely interested in somebody else. And you know, you have a responsibility to be sincerely interested in somebody else because you created them. And so therefore, you owe them your 100% attention whenever they come to your mind. So don't think that you're doing somebody else a favor. You're doing whatever it takes for your own life to be richer and fuller. And when someone holds their hand up and says, "Please do not cross the street," like the police girl or the policeman to the children, "Stop," or that's what they use, is a hand facing you in the "don't cross here" and things like that, you know. And if you don't understand that, that's kind of sad. Yeah, and Rex understands it. And really, remember, there's nothing important, there's nothing pressuring us, there's nothing that we have to do so eagerly, so diligently, that we have to go about making every little second count. And I know, basically, it's you'd like to see a clean table for us all. But let that go. And stop being a maid and be a participant in the total program. And we can all have such a good time together. Because that's what communication is about. Start asking questions. Start entering into the discussion. And start having fun. And certainly, be yourself. Those who listen and ask questions control communication. Have a lovely day and know that I love you. I love you. I love you.
I love you.
I love you.